Yeah, come on, Jesus. Lord, we just glorify you right now. We just glorify you, God. Lord, I just thank you that you are moving upon your children. You know, I love it. We just demonstrated God working with his body. Wasn't that amazing? God's giving out words. Way to go. Kesha ripping it up. I love it. I love it because you know what? It's not a place where one or few people are going to be doing stuff. We're going to be pushing a lot more here. Going to push a lot more because God is good. I'm stalling a little bit just because I have such a burning in me about some stuff, and I'm just trying to figure out how to bring it all and what direction. And I just felt led to go to Isaiah 54. If you want to turn there, not planned, but I actually feel this is just a now word right now. We all love this verse. We'll stick with verse 2, and I'll jump back to verse 1 here. But verse 2, don't we love it when the prophet gets up and declares this? Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. I actually believe that's a word for now, but the problem is we don't realize what it says, verse 1. You got to know where you're at when you got these words. It says, sing, O barren one, you who have not born. Break forth into singing. So he's speaking to somebody that cannot have a child. You got to get this picture right. If you understand verse 2, once you realize this, it changes things. He's speaking to the barren one, the one that has no child. You who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Come on, he's telling, where do you go? When you're barren, when you're calling out, this isn't just about children. This is about a place where you're going, Lord, I feel like I'm not moving anywhere. I feel like I have all these seeds. I have these words, but nothing's happening. And you're feeling like, Lord, I'm barren because nothing's coming forth. I even feel as people right now that feel like they're carrying something, but it's like I'm in 10th month. I'm 11th month. I'm in 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. I don't know what's going on with this baby. You have not labored with child yet. For more are the children of the desolate. Dude, that's a huge word right there. Hear that? More are the children of the one. That's the word for right now too. The one I just said, if you're feeling that, that's a prophetic word right there. More are the children of the one that has no children yet. Come on. Do you ever get that, guys? Come on, Lord, release a spirit of revelation in this room. Come on. We need to get it. These aren't just words out of the scripture. These are words that are powerful. And when we speak them and let them actually hit us, it changes your life. Then the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge, now we go to a larger place. So now this is the word I'm declaring right now. It is time to choose when you have no child, when you've been sitting and waiting and you're barren, either have a child or you're barren and say, I want it. And God is saying, go build another room on your tent. Do you get that? That's what he's saying. But there's no child left yet. Come on, your promise isn't there yet, but have you made room for it? God has been wrecking me with the verse that says he supplies all my needs according to his riches. If I don't make room with needs, what am I expecting? We don't wait. There's something about co-laboring with God. It's the whole realm of faith. I step in. I'm going to go build the room in my house. You know what? People that are, oh man, I hear so many people, they're like, God, I got, and I'm not taking the offering, so you guys don't even have to worry about this now. But so many people have words, incredible words about finances, but they won't actually step out because they're saying, I will step out once it comes. Read your Bible. It doesn't seem to work that way that often. Now, sometimes it does. But so often it is called planting your seed. See, we've got to read the scripture of how it was written. It was written in a time of agriculture. I'm fortunate I grew up in the farming world, so I understand. When you want to have an apple tree that grows fruit, you can't put a seed in the ground and expect next year you're going to have apples. You guys, in business school, we study different types of business. I went to school for business at Trinity Western. And the Jewish culture, which is what this is written out of, they have a mindset. When they start a business, they don't expect anything to come for 5 years. They just know to sow 5 years. They're expecting no results. The problem is we're part of a fast food generation that we're not willing to wait. Come on, there's people that you've got, it says in scripture to test me in this. Even I'm hitting the finances because you know what? There's something, I just so am stirred up for just, I've been praying for this body and praying because I know God wants to bless the socks out of us. And not to glorify him, not so you can glorify yourself, but you know what? God's going to show off who you are. Come on. I got a great word. Sammy gave me this awesome word. I'll tell you what it was. You're going to get so blessed, you're going to tick off people. Why not? No, but do you get that? It's not because I want. I'm still waiting for that word. Come on. No, but seriously, and hold on. I don't jump because we're going to get to this. I have so much to go today. But right there, let's take a lesson from that. Even a word that was just given to me, okay? Now, I can get excited. The good old charismatic. Oh, yeah, Sam, that's a good word. But you know what I've learned? I'm like, oh, Lord, another word about finances. I know what this means. He's going to check my heart. He's going to check my heart. Because God wants to pour out like a good dad. Whoever has, once you, for those who don't have kids yet, you'll learn a lot when you do. But you realize as a dad, I want to give my kid everything I can. But I also don't because I don't wreck them. Do you understand that? He's not into destroying people's lives. If you study, look up, just on Google even, what happens, what's the percentage of people that win the lottery, what happens in their life? They're literally broke, lost their marriages, lost everything. We're talking, I read this article that was in the Province years ago, and he was known as like this godly man. It's straight in this secular news. Man of God from church, deacon in his church, now coming out of strip clubs. That was what pretty much was the label. Had nothing. He won like 100 million or something like that. Had nothing in 2 years. 2 years. And he had more beforehand. We have to understand God is teaching us and preparing our hearts. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man, I got burning words, you guys. A lot of this message, I'll tell you, I just love preaching from speaking how I even get stuff. After our conference, it was great. Who loved the conference? It was amazing, right? Awesome. Tuesday, Sam and I were driving around, and I'll tell you, this is a key right here. Get together with your friends and revelate. That's what we did. We just drive around and we push each other. We talk about things. What do you see this? Where do you see this in scripture? What do you feel about that? And we're pushing each other and we're in this revelation. And all of a sudden, I just thought something. I'm like, hey, Sam, I said, think about this one. What do you think about this? Because of my background, I grew up in the Baptist Mennonite world. And so I watched stuff that maybe some people that grew up a lot of the Pentecostal world a little different. And I said, everyone wants to go to the conference. Everyone wants to go to the next meeting, which is good. But how come certain people get changed and actually do something? And what's the difference between the person? I'm not putting anyone down, but what's the person that keeps on feeling like they're just not moving anywhere? And the Lord spoke to me clearly when I was sharing this. I just said, Sam, it's because we're constantly asking Jesus to walk us through processes. No, like you have to hear this. This is and Sam's like, that's 100%. I told another minister, I won't tell you who, last week, I told him, I was talking on the phone to him in Alberta, and he's like, he was talking about a book. I'm like, dude, I want to write a book about embracing the process. Because we don't talk about this part. And he says, don't. He says, it'll be amazing, but ministers are going to be mad at you. That's exactly the words he says. Oh, dude, you got to do it, but you're going to get a lot of people mad at you. Because that's the real walk of is walking through the process. It's constantly going, God, what in me can be changed? How come when I left and I just talked to that certain person, why did I feel that way? How come I know that I just gave that word to somebody because I wanted to feel better and let them see that I can do that? Come on. That's the difference of... You get around, I've got the blessed to be around the Bobby Connors and others that are these major fathers of the prophetic movement. Hey, we got one in the house. You got Brent here. You guys have no, sometimes I just want to wake up our own people. Like, you have no idea how many people come to Brent for crazy stuff. And huge leaders. I can't even tell you who, because we're not, like, they phone him up for information. People that we are like, oh, if he came into town, let's find out. But there's a difference is we're constantly asking God, show me. I won't get into it. It'll be the whole message, and people that are hanging around with me enough get to hear me because I talk a lot. I verbal process. They're all excited because I got a revelation today. The Lord told me, start verbal processing with the spirit of wisdom and not aloud. Yeah, Barb's excited. She works in the office. Praise God. No, that's just how I process. But it's actually going, God, what is the difference? Literally, I won't get into it right now. Someday I'll preach it maybe. But literally, I broke a spirit of fear off my life. Because I pushed. I'm like, Lord, what is going on in this area? Because I look at the scripture and it says, perfect love casts out fear. And if he's perfect love, and I'm contending, and I'm wanting so much to be with the Lord, with the Father, so why is it that I still have this fear here? And honestly, it came out of God actually pushing me into a direction towards him. And as I was going towards him, and you can watch David Springs on here, but John's walked through some of the process and others, and Sebastian has heard me sound like crazy, some of the stuff. And literally, as I got closer to where God was trying to bring me, all of a sudden it was getting stronger over here going, no, there's fear attached to this. Why is there fear attached to it? If God's not fear, then is what, because honestly, for a bit of it, I was like, oh, I think God's using that to drive me. And he's like, Kevin, I don't do that. I'm not driving you into me by using fear. That's the street preacher. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to share this part then, because this will go with what I was about to say. You got to hear this. So who knows the story of when Absalom dies? Hold on. You guys are like, where is he going with this? 2 Samuel 18. I'm going to... Yeah, we won't get to my notes. 2 Samuel 18. That's fine. I actually didn't feel like we were going to. But I studied. I spent so many hours this week, you guys, in the presence of God and in scripture and the word, and I have... But we got lots of time, because I actually believe that this is a key. It's like, I think I started going to John or something this morning. I'm like, Lord, how can we make steps for people in the church? I feel like what we constantly have is, we have this, say at the conference, we have, say, Sam, and Sam's having all this amazing stuff, and he's up here. And the truth is, we make him look like he's up here. It's not his heart, but he's up there, right? And we're like, I want to be like Sam. I want to have all these encounters. I want all this stuff. But then for some reason we're like, okay, now get up there. And the step is, then we're like, yeah, let's go. 2 weeks later, boom, I'm hitting a wall because there's no step. The step's so big, it's higher than me. And yes, Psalm says I can leap over a wall. So there's sometimes, sorry, this is revelation. So sometimes God does let you jump up, accelerate it. But honestly, normally he doesn't. There's steps. It's called the process of coming to where you are. It's called the pruning. He prunes his branches on purpose. Come on, those who know, I know stuff I used to look after. Have you ever heard of the Apple Barn in Abbotsford? When I was like 18, for 4 years, I basically ran the Apple Barn with Lauren, who owns it, and he's amazing, awesome, and the chicken farm. And so I know about apple trees. Pruning is huge. Like literally, in the fall, you think you're crazy because you're taking off so many branches that you think you're killing it. I remember the first time I did it, I'm like, I don't think we're going to do good here. And the next year, those were the fruits. And then, get this. This is something. We go through our pruning stage. And it hurts a bit. And then the fruit starts coming. Well, those who know something about apple trees, there's something called thinning. And all of a sudden, there's a bunch of fruit there and a fruit here. But it's not like apples, you don't want like grapes. Grapes, you want the cluster. But apples, you don't. You want spacing. So that more nutrients comes and you see. Well, that's a word right there. You know how often we just, as Christians, we want everybody else's fruit. So we're just like, I want that, I want this, I want this. And God's like, I'm trying to teach you to love right now. Don't worry about the prophetic right now. Don't worry about evangelism. I'm just trying to get you my Father's heart right now. And so you have to thin out sometimes. Woo! I love this stuff. Thank you. Start blushing here. I'm just kidding. It's having fun. I love this stuff. So, 2 Samuel 18. We've got King David. Well, at this moment, he's king because God's anointed him king. But then naturally, he's not king. His son came and took his throne. Have you ever felt that before? And God, somebody comes in and kind of, see you later. But you know what's so cool about David? And I got a lot to say about David. Talk about process, David's whole life. So you see, I'm going to read this so I can make an understanding. So verse 5, the king charged Joab and Abishai and Atiah, saying, deal gently for the sake of the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king charged all the commanders concerning Absalom. So, this is your son that kicked you out of the kingdom. Now, most of us would be like, son or not, son. This guy, if you study, he was not good. He literally was trying to go get David killed. This is your enemy. And you could say he's your son, and it's different, but no. When the guy's trying to kill you, it's either enemy or not enemy, right? But it's interesting. David has gone through processes. And one of them he learned was don't kill your Saul in your life. Don't kill. Sometimes God's using somebody. It may not seem good, but he'll use everything for the good. And so it's crazy that David had picked up the heart of God so much. Just a statement tells you something that this guy, when it says in Scripture that David had the heart of the Lord, this is his reasons. This is our God. This is Jesus foreshadowing in some ways of when he literally sent his son. We deserved punishment. He died for each one of us. He died for the guys that were hanging him on the cross. Deal gently. So I don't want to go into too detailed here, but basically Absalom goes out. He's on his donkey. And some people go, oh no, that's a donkey because he's just a fool. But no, in those days, the donkey, I'll just give you a little background in history. Donkey actually were for kings. No, for real. The donkey was set for the king. Go check it out. It actually was an honor thing. Okay, so then let's get here. You'll get this. Okay, so we're going to jump down to, I'm going to skip lots here. So Absalom's going with his donkey somehow. We don't know how, but somehow he must have not been looking and his head got stuck in the trees and there he's hanging, right? So let's get to right here. Okay, pretty much, I want to get to the point. Pretty much, he's hanging there, and no one wants to even kill him because they heard what David said. Don't kill him. Don't touch. We've been around David. His people, David's guys, are like, we've been around David. He's taught us. David doesn't want him hurt. Let's just grab him. But instead, some other guys come. They kill him. And this is where we're going to get to where I'm trying to get to. Verse 19. Then Hamaz, the son of Zodak, said, please, let me run and bring in the king news that the Lord has freed him from the hand of the enemies. But Joab said to him, you are not the man to carry the news this day, but you shall carry news another day. However, you shall carry no news today because the king's son is dead. Then Joab said to the Cushite, go tell the king what you have seen. So the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. Then Amaziah, the son of Zodak, said once more to Joab, but whatever happens, please let me also run with the Cushite. And Joab said, why would you run, my son? Run. So picture this. This is what the Lord spoke to me about the scripture. This is so often Christians these days. There's a message of what God's done. The truth of what we find in the word. And he's handed us this message. And you can either be one or the other here. Now David was sitting between two gates, and a watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. The watchman called, and the king says, if he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth. And he came nearer and nearer. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called the gatekeeper and said, behold, another man running by himself. And the king said, this one also is bringing good news. The watchman said, I think the one running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. So he passed the guy, okay? The guy that wasn't supposed to go, he's there first. And the king said, this is a good man and comes with good news. And Amaziah called and said to the king, all is well. And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, blessed is the Lord God who delivered up the men who lift up their hands against my lord, the king. The king said, it is well. Is it well with the young Absalom? And Ahimaaz answered, "When Job sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was." And what did the King David say? "Turn aside and stand here." You guys, the church, a lot of the church is running around with a message they don't know. And when I say that, I'm talking about, did you know just, I saw, it bothered me so much. I saw this on Facebook. Just before the shootings in Las Vegas, somebody posted this. Christian, I saw a few times. Christians were posting. And they showed this video of the street preacher just before the shooting. And he's up there going, "You're going to burn in hell." It's right on there. "You're going to burn in hell if you don't." And it's the judgment. It's the judgment. And you know what Christians were saying underneath this? They missed it. Because in the video, they're mocking this guy. And you can say, well, that is right. You mocked the Christian that was doing it. But that's not the message Jesus brought. He didn't bring the message of "you're condemned to hell." He brought the message of "there's hope and a God that loves you." But we're running around with this message because we don't have the proper core values in our life that know who God is. He's a God of love. And we're wondering why people aren't getting excited. You know what? The world knows they're going to hell, if they like it or not. You talk to them. Sorry, but I know people. I've done many people that are not saved, and I talk to them, and we've led many to the Lord, but also people that just rejected. But literally, they know their sins are sins. Even atheists, they know things that they're doing are wrong. They just think they don't know why. But so often, I just want to break this off the church. We got to find out our message. Because see, like this guy, he's all excited because he's like, "I know them. I know something. But we need to start getting the message before we go out. We got to start getting the message before we talk to some of our friends. You guys, more than ever, I have talked to lately, just God's been connecting me with great Christian people. I'm talking people that are saved, specifically even a pastor, and literally I sat down, and some of the stuff that we were still teaching, it's just, and when I say, like, we need a fresh understanding, God is a God of love. He so desires. I know I bring it up because it just wrecks me. I mean, Christians need to realize this, that yes, he loves each one of you, but he loves everyone. He loves the one outside that is messed up. He loves the one that's home right now doing drugs. He actually cries out for them. He'll leave the 99 because he knows we're good. It's a compliment. He'll leave us because he knows that he needs to go get the next. But more than ever, I have realized that we need to start, even to our Christian brothers, bringing truth. I've met with good friends, and it's like, and I'm not, I don't want to become like, well, we're a lead and know something, but there's truth is truth. And if you're a believer and you don't have hope in your life, you need to go read the word again. I sat down with a pastor, I don't know, he's been a pastor for many, many years, and literally, I don't know even how he got there. And we're talking, and he's saying, well, heaven's not made yet. Dude, this guy's a pastor. This messed me up. I was sitting there, and I'm like, I had been having other discussions. I didn't want to be into arguments. I'm not into arguments. I'm not there to argue with people. And he kind of was like, yeah. And he wasn't saying it to bug me. He just was telling me that's the truth. He said, because of the scripture. There's one scripture. He goes, "I go to prepare a place for you." So supposedly we're preparing forever until the judgment or whatever. I don't even know. I didn't go that far with them. And so I sat there and for about 10 seconds, and the Spirit of the Lord rose to me, and I said in honor, I said, "Excuse, I can't live with that." I said, I'm a kingdom theology guy. How can you? And I just literally was like, scripture just flowing out of me. What about this verse? What do you do with that verse? Like, literally, I'm a verbal processor. I'm like processing with him. Like, how could you even think that? Like, what about the people in your church? Like, if you don't have hope, and honestly, Lord spoke to me, and this is where we have to be able to hear the Lord, because I wasn't there to argue with him, because it could have gone really bad. And Lord says, "Kevin," he said, "keep it simple." And he just said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done as it is in," where? Heaven. And I said, how in the world do Jesus give us one prayer? I got pretty passionate. I said, how did he give us one prayer and we're supposed to bring heaven, but it hasn't been made yet? I don't understand. If I can't bring heaven, where is it? How am I going to do this? You guys, the whole... And literally, and in all respect, in case he's watching, because he could, it's on Facebook. For real, he might. In all respect, you can ask people that are around. He didn't say much the rest of the day. But he did say before I left, he said, I thank you for our discussions. Right? Because, and it's nothing, I'm just the young guy that just was, it wasn't, I was trying to make a point. I just couldn't, we have to know our message. We have to. For some reason, it's highlighting it so much in my life, the Christian brothers and sisters I run into, and they're struggling, and because they're coming against these things, and people are telling them, and they're literally telling them that things their kids are doing and stuff is, they have to go tell their kid, a little kid, God doesn't like you when you do certain things like that. That's not how to keep a kid loving Jesus. We wonder why a generation's not coming to church anymore, because we keep on telling them that they're sinners and they suck. We can't. We got to say there's hope. God loves every person. He doesn't look at one or the other and say, oh, that one, you're going to hell. Forget this predestined stuff. Oh, I just better not crush too much, but come on. How can you look in this Bible? How can you find this love story from the very beginning? The very beginning. And I brought this up. Jesus comes into the garden after they sin, and the first thing he does is he kills the animal and says, I'm going to cover you so I can reconnect. All the way through Scripture, every time man falls, Jesus, God, comes in and says, I want to reconnect. To the point where he's like, I will send my son. And they're going to spit on him. They're going to reject him. Come on, we're made in his image. So tell me that you could have handled what Jesus went through. Man, I would have had all of heaven kick earth's butt. Sorry. Come on, let's just be honest. Do you get what I'm saying? Dude, you try to hang me on a tree? I'm like the disciples. Bring the fire down. Bring the fire down. I haven't got that far yet. Still, I have to be careful sometimes in a running situation. Like, Lord, just send the fire. You know the verse I'm talking about? If you don't know, the disciples were kind of got into a situation. And they're like, well, they rejected us. Lord, we send fire down. And you know why they said that? Because Elijah did it. They knew it was legal. But Jesus had a better way. See, Jesus is the perfect theology. He's the perfect theology. If what you're living and you're telling people doesn't line up what you find in the first four Gospels, man, I love the rest, but Jesus was perfect theology. And you know what I mean by that? If he did things, it's the way it's supposed to be. I don't know if you were here when Ivan said, I love that. We can get so caught up. We can have theological debates. We can put a panel up here, invite a ton of people from the world, and we can fight over, did Paul have a natural thorn in his flesh? Did we have this? It doesn't matter. Jesus never, ever gave us a right to say that we have a right to allow sickness in our life. He never did. There's probably a reason why Paul doesn't explain that much, because it just causes too much confusion. Right? Do you get what I'm saying? We have to know our message. We have to know what God is saying. Because there is a generation that is so hungry to move forward. And we have to start somewhere. And this is where I was going to originally go into core values and go on that, but I don't think we're supposed to go that direction right now. Instead, I have to stick with the process. Stick with the process. We need to. There is so many of you, and oh man, this is such a deep thing. Process. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Process. It's like there's parts of your life, and you know when you're in them. You're like, let them be over. Right? Like, let's look at David. I love David. Let's just jump here. Everyone knows the story. Does everyone know the story of David and Goliath? Not everybody. See, I grew up in the church, read this book probably front to cover at least 15 straight times, at least before I was 18. But I've been realizing this generation hasn't learned the Bible. And that's okay. I love what Chris Walton said, because it goes against the religious spirit that tries to come up sometimes. Yeah, I just said that. I'm up here. You know, let's talk about this for a second. Let's just be real with each other. for people like me that grew up in the church, I have to fight that thing all the time. It's not me I'm fighting. It's not my old man. The old man's dead. I love it. Jacob knows that. It died out there. It died in the tub. Died under the water. You're no longer fighting your old man. And I'm going to preach on that one soon. Because we have to understand that once you realize the old man, you're never fighting with it again. You can never, as a believer that's been baptized, if you ever use the excuse, oh, that's my old man coming up, that's a lie, but we'll deal with it another Sunday. It's 100% lie, and I can prove it, a shadow of a doubt, in the Word. If the old man's dead, it can't come back. That's like going to the graveyard and pulling it up and have it just pulling around. It doesn't do nothing. It's not the one you're fighting. Oh, man. If you get that revelation, man, go study it. I brought it up just so you can go study it. I don't even know where I was going now. Oh, the spirit of religion. At least you're laughing. You got the joy of the Lord, right? But no, if we go, I grew up with the spirit of religion. So you can ask, I love hitting it when I realize I've got it, when it's trying to hit me. Because those aren't my thoughts. That's just the enemy bringing it over. Man, we got so much. We want to put religion on so much. The charismatic church sometimes has more spirit of religion than the opposite church. I mean, whatever you want to declare, non-charismatic. Right? Do you realize that? It's like, oh, they really have God. Oh, that's a prophet over there, because look at their face right now. They have that, I got a word. You don't have a word until you do that. It's true, man. It happens everywhere. Oh, man, we have some funny things. Oh man, when I entered into the whole charismatic stuff, I literally had to work through the process that this wasn't devil worship, because the stuff didn't make sense to me. You have to understand, that's the whole message too. We got to walk people through the process. People don't understand. People, not to point you out, but Jacob needs people around him to explain what happened in there. Things are going to happen. You know what's going to happen? It's going to get challenged. The enemy doesn't want somebody like Jacob to get baptized, because he just realized that he lost another person that he can use the old man against. Because you're a new creation. You're new, completely new. And your new creation doesn't like sinning. I don't remember the verse right now, but there's an actual verse about that. It has no desire to sin. You're a new creation. But you know what? When that spirit of religion comes, I'm like, oh, there it is. I got to deal with that one. Let's kill it. And then I'll try to go the opposite. Just totally opposite, right? Let's grab, man, I'm on page one. Oh, two, actually. I got 14 to go. We're not going there. Don't worry. It's getting old, the joke. Oh, we were in David and Goliath. One thing I want to bring up, I might bring it up another time, but before I go to David Goliath, just because of time, we have to, because this is a major, and this is not touching anything. But Nehemiah chapter somewhere in my notes, there is a verse. Wow. Okay. I want to hit this, though, so you need to know this verse. The one that says, here it is. Just simple, very short verse. Nehemiah 3:28. I brought it up in the prayer room. You want to bring it up there? 3:28. Nehemiah 3. Beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. So Nehemiah came back to rebuild Jerusalem. It was a mess. These walls could not, for years and years, they were never rebuilt. And it's interesting. And I'm not going to even try to tell you the numbers, but go study how many years they couldn't rebuild this and what happens when God says it's now, how fast that wall got built. That's a whole thing right there. But what is that? It says, they built each in front of his own house. This is a really good place to start when you're trying to go through processes. And if you want a huge key to why you're not where you need to be yet, go build what's in front of you. Go back to where we put people up here. Not everyone's called. Actually, very few people are called to travel the world like Sam and do what he's called is doing. Come on. Sam's a great example. The guy got pulled out of school in grade 10. Ask him how his principal brought him into a room and literally without his parents, they were like, what are you doing? You're throwing your life away. And at age, at grade 10, he had to choose to trust his family. He had to choose to what God was leading him to do. People don't realize that in grade 10, he was one of the best basketball players in BC, right, Willis? I forget how, even for grade 12 or something like that. It was nuts. He literally was going there. People don't realize Charlie, if he didn't blow out injured, but he literally played against NBA players. He would have made it too. But people don't realize there's a cost. No, let's just be real here. We have to realize, if you're trying to get to there, don't try to be there because you're not Sam. I love it. I was having a discussion with Sam and Ivan in the car one day, and he's just like, we're just talking, and Ivan is like, I hate it when people try to be something they're not, because he's like, why would you want to be a prophet if you're not called to be a prophet? He goes, that is not even nice. And this is the problem with the prophetic, is that we have to be careful what we're speaking, because we're prophesying things, and then you get the wrong idea, and the next thing you know, you're trying to be something, but there's no grace to really be there. Do you realize if you're in office, this is easy because the office of prophet is a lonely place. No, it is. The guys that, when you're going, like that's, people don't realize an office of prophet, man, you get a lot of hits and you get a lot of good stuff, but it's not all easy. Behind the scenes, it's not as pretty as you guys think. I was just talking to Tom this week, and he was just reminding me about Tom and Oak, if you don't realize, have been around for a long time with Moves of God. They worked with Patricia King. They were there when Todd got commissioned. They were in those meetings. Todd was in your house. And Tom said he would like remove the tape and put it in and give out the prophetic words. That was when they had tapes and stuff. But he remembers when they would be having meetings at Charlie's house, and Charlie's would come and Sam would be up in his room just crying out as a young child. Just crying out for him. There is a cause. Like, again, if you're not building the right wall, you have no grace for it. When you, like, I feel to share this. You know, sometimes we all want, of course it's fun getting a prophetic word. It's fun being encouraged. But there's actually an expectation released on you too. You're now accountable for something that a seed's been planted. You're accountable. I've learned because I've learned the hard way. I remember when Ivan was mentoring me, and he literally said, Kevin, we're going to start praying that no, you don't get any more prophetic words, at least for a season, because it gets confusing. Because, of course, we love it, but then it's like, he goes, Kevin, you haven't done it 99.9% of what they've told you. It's maybe all true, but you need to start walking some of it out. Then I realized what that process of walking out looked like. People all want the mic. Look, you serve. And I'm not trying to bring, I love my life. But do you realize, I'll tell you a little story about process in my own life. For 4 years, I'm going to be careful, but it's okay, he knows. I served this man in another church, not my last church, I was before, so be careful, you don't even know. Great man. We literally started a young adults group. Literally, we had 200 every Tuesday. And I don't care, it can be public, everyone will know anyways. So it's a Mennonite church, and literally we're having kids rock. I wasn't allowed to minister very much in the front, because I got in trouble a lot. But afterwards, we just have like 100 kids rolling on the ground. And then one day, I'm thinking this is the pinnacle, this is greatness, this is where we're going, we're going to take this. And one day, we're in the office like we're doing, and he looks at me and goes, Kevin, I don't even know, this came out of like, it kind of stuff had come up before, but this is just out of nowhere. And he goes, Kevin, you have to make a choice. I'm like, what choice? He's like, either this fresh fire stuff or me. Dude, I was like literally with this guy every day almost. And I'm like, what? What? It broke my heart. And then it's funny because who knows, for some reason, whenever we get attacked for any charismatic stuff, Benny Hinn's name shows up. I have no idea. I'm like, and I love the guy. Bless the guy. I actually really do love his ministry. He's laid hands on me, and it's amazing. But he literally, and I'm like, I didn't even know what to do. You know what process is? It's going home, lying before the Lord for hours, crying my heart out. Because I'm like, God, I do not understand. 4 years I've poured out everything. Literally, I have left certain things. I have literally skipped so many university courses, classes for it. Shouldn't have, but I did. And I said, and you know what the Lord told me? I said, Lord, what is it? Which I don't understand. He goes, Kevin, you already know the answer. That's why it's so hard. I already knew the answer. I had to leave. But I want to tell you something, what process does. Because I had learned God's voice already at that point, that I knew what to do. And I went, and it was great. I did an honor. We met. Man, I love it if you'd watch this, because I love him. Well, he knows that we've made things right. Actually, I never left bad. But literally, he's like, he expected me to just, of course, agree with him. And so he backtracked and needed me for the rest of that season. But then I was going to leave. But guess what happened a week and a half after? These are processes. This is not the easy part of life. And I didn't see this coming from anywhere. A week and a half later, we were at a conference. It was at the ABC Center. It was the last Sunday night. And you have to understand, for a week and a half, I'm like, God, I do not understand this. I have no understanding. I thought this was the big door. Like, literally, I had an office in that church. And literally, it was like everything just was, like, taken. And I go, and we're at the meeting, and Ivan Roman, I never had a real conversation with him in my life. He walks up to me. We're all praying. He comes up to me. He says, just let you know, and he says, give me these words. And he says, within 1 year, I'm going to mentor you. You're going to raise you up. And 1 year, I'm going to leave this place and give you everything I have right here. He doesn't even remember telling me that. He walked away, and I'm like, what? I was excited, but I'm like, you just told me you're leaving, and you're what? I don't even understand it. I love Ivan, because he'll release that, and he won't even remember. He'll be like, he left 1 year later, too. But so when he told me, I wasn't that surprised. But then my whole life just opened up again. But then there was a process. I feel like to share this. I love personal stuff, too. Is that literally, this is where you have to... I wasn't looking for another position. I wasn't looking for anything. I was just looking for Jesus. You have to understand that. I had no grid of Ivan coming to me. I made no sense. I didn't know all the stuff that was going on between him and other people, what they were seeing and stuff. And literally, he goes and meets with me. He goes, Kevin, meet with me on, I don't know what day it was, Tuesday or something. Let's go for lunch. And I don't know about all these men of God bringing me for sushi. I hate sushi. So we went for sushi. And so we're sitting there. And he says it was so funny because I was pretty nervous, I guess, and I'm just rambling off like I do. And then we left, and like, nothing was said, really. I'm like, for a guy that told me he's going to mentor me and that he was going to leave and I was take over, then I was like, what am I supposed to do now, God? Like, it doesn't make sense. So I go to Jesus. Guess what? Isn't that amazing? I went to Jesus. I didn't go phone up a bunch of people to find out advice. That's a word for you. Go to Jesus. So Jesus, I don't get this. I do not get this. I didn't, you guys. Now it's funny, but I didn't. I was like, God, what is this? You're just messing my life up. And he goes, go tell Ivan you're ready to serve. Go to his office and tell him you're supposed to serve and to lay down everything and serve him. And I'm like, yeah, right. That's embarrassing. And honestly, I'm like, oh, this is a process. I went, I did that before, Lord. 4 years. Can I do it again? Come on, let's be honest. But praise God, by the grace of God, I got up Wednesday morning. It was funny. I walked in his office, and he goes, oh, yeah, good. He didn't tell me to come, which he's somewhere. He's like, oh, I was waiting for you. I'm like, thanks, Ivan. I walk in. I'm like, he's like, looks at me. He's like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, so embarrassing. Because I don't, like, in my mind, I hadn't heard the kind of like the Chris stories telling Bill. I didn't hear all this stuff before, right? So I'm like, well, God told me I'm supposed to, like, serve you. And so, oh, good. That's what Ivan goes. Okay, good, let's go. Now let's go. Hey, why don't you lie down and let's see if we can hear what God wants to do. I'm like, huh? Come on. Because God will promote you when you need to be promoted. He will. Because honestly, Val's laughing because she remembers. I had no idea what I was doing back then. They saw me. I was just this crazy kid that just was there. Right? I just, like, praise the Lord, and favor came. I still don't understand how it all happened. And literally, it was like God opened the door, but I had to choose to trust him. I had to. And you guys have to choose to trust again in many areas of your life. This wasn't this happened again later on. I had to trust. Ask Brent. I had to learn and walk through a process of trusting another leader in my life, another father to come in my life. You got to learn to trust and not carry the baggage. That was a rabbit trail. There will definitely be a second message on the process because I haven't gone anywhere. So the fruit was thinned out. Remember that picture right there? I saw it again. So it's thinned out here. You need to let God grow you. If you keep on trying to self-position yourself, you're self-positioning yourself out of the next blessing. God will bring you up. You do not need to contend to look. You guys, we have to break this off, that one gift or one position or something is better than the other. This drives me nuts. And it looks different. I love it. I've been talking to some of these young guys, and they go, how did you stay fired up when you were my age? How did you do this? How did you do this? And it's so hard for me because I don't want to give them much information because they'll look different than I did. The best answer is, and it sounds so Christianese, but it's not. It's just go to Jesus. You love Jesus. I always just go back to Jesus. He's always the one that stays stable. He does. We don't need to constantly... When you spend time with Jesus, you find out what you're called to. Because he'll break your heart. He'll break your heart. It was awesome days. We had great things happening with Fresh Fire. But you know how many people came to me? I want to be part of the Joel's Army. I want to be part of the youth stuff. And I'm like, okay, so let's sit down. That's awesome because I love bringing people. I love giving away favor because that's how you make favor. You know that? The more you exalt others and push people ahead, the more doors open up for you. It's just a little secret out there. But we don't want to believe it because that sounds too easy. You can't give away more. The kingdom of God is constantly, you sow and you reap. I get in trouble because I try to open up so many doors for other people because I just love to bless, see other people exceed. It's my favorite thing. That's why I love the school. I love it when people, today that excited me so much when Kesha stepped out and other, I love that. Because it can't be about one person and it's going to look different than me and it's going to look different than John. It's going to look different than Brent. I'm not trying to become Brent. Because I'll never be Brent. And so, where was I going? Wow. Looking to Val. I thought I was talking about something. Oh, people would come to me and ask me straight up. They'd be like, I want to be part of this. And I'd be like, wow. And you know, it's interesting. They were so gifted. And I'm like, yes, those guys are gifted. Let's meet. And I'd sit down for an hour. And we'd sit down. And I'm like, okay, tell me what's your heart. And this is what I got. Oh, man, I was just there, and you should have saw the miracles I do. You should have saw this, I did this, and you should have saw this, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And then I leave the meeting, and then one of my other the leaders in the ministry, oh, Kevin, you met with so-and-so. So he's going to do that with you? I'm like, no. They're like, what? No, he's awesome. I said, he's awesome. He's awesome about himself. He didn't say, this is huge, I'll tell you. This is a key, especially if you want to do stuff with me. He just spent an hour telling me about himself and never told me even a minute or even a second about how he cares for this generation or cares for the youth and his heart burns and God broke his heart for them. That's what changes people. You can give the most, you know how many gift. I learned the hard way. I got so many people around me back when we were doing that because we'd grab the most gifted and they'd run. And then there are always the ones you have to run back and take them off out of the drugs again. I say, okay, it's okay. Let's go again. And then you go. And then I found out one day, Lord says, stop looking for the most gifted and find the ones that have some character and love me. Because you know what? And if you, the truth is, you could teach anyone gifting. You really can. No, there's things, there's graces people are called to, and it's going to be easier. I could teach anybody that never even heard the voice of God before to hear for the voice of the Lord. Like, we are his sheep, we hear his voice. So build the wall that's in front of you, and don't try to look like somebody else. Don't, because your journey will never look like somebody else. It won't. Don't try to be Brent up here because Brent, that means you have to run off to the Amazon and live there for a while. Then you, do you realize that? And I'm not joking about that because he actually had the way you were raised has partly to do with where you can be and what you're called to do and how you're graced to do it. Doesn't make anything greater or worse though. Just because your apple may be red and this one's green does not make you worse or better. We have to stop trying to attain to this thing that looks like the guy that gets to travel and it looks like his life is perfect. You know how busy Sam Robinson is right now? How busy Ivan is? How busy? They're paying a price. Do you guys realize? This is huge. Because being anyone that's been a father, Sam, while he was ministering here, had to watch after the session his daughter make her first steps. Dude, that's a cost. I don't care what you think. We have to start taking, instead of just being, give me another word, give me a word, realize what you're carrying. The more you get, I don't know what you want to call it, the more you walk, you find out how much more is called of you. The next level of whatever you want to call, say, leadership, is just more serving. That's the body of Christ. You just get to spend more time serving people. And guess what? People are messy. They are, but God loves them. I love people. I really do. And praise God, God's given me a lot of grace. Because I just think they're awesome. Well, it's 12, and I literally could go forever. And I never talked about David. I'll do that again. We'll jump into that. Hopefully you got some keys. I want to go through this because I really feel that we're moving into something. And this isn't just saying it. No, we believe it. I believe the words that were delivered during our conference because it just confirmed what we were feeling before. This place, there's something happening. And the main thing is we have to have people that know their identity, that know who they are, that are not trying to look like this person or look like that person, that they're literally getting on their wall. Because, you know, this place will only grow. And you go, why do you keep talking about growing this place? Because God wants to grow this place because he wants to bring hope to everyone out here. And if you don't have a love, just let you know, if you're part of this body, this might mess you up. But if you don't have a love for Alder Grove yet, you're going to get one. It's happening to people. People in our ministry, maybe you won't, but most people are, because God is yelling at us. He's like, you're an apostolic, which means you're supposed to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. But if you're not touching your own city, how apostolic are we? I call it for what it is. So behind the scenes, we're strategizing some things. We're hitting Alder Grove, and we're going to, I don't want to say too much yet, but we're literally, and we'll probably need some more help with it, but we will have a Christmas banquet for the church, but we're also doing a Christmas banquet this year for young kids and stuff out of Alder Grove, teenagers, and literally through Will's has connections. We're going to bless their socks off. We're going to serve them as if they're kings and queens sitting at those tables. They're not going to get up to get their food. We're serving them, and we're going to dress nicely for it. Because we have to hit the region. That's a little man. So, Lord, you guys want to stand up? Oh, man. I love it. So, God, we just love you. And, Lord, I pray that you would show each one of us that wall that stands in front of us or needs to be stood up. Lord, because we're in charge. That's what you've given us. You've given us a place, and we're supposed to build it to our best of our ability. And praise God, you gave us the grace for that, because you know who we are. It's going to look different. Your wall might be a different color. It might be more decorative. It might have all these little things on it. But you know what? It's amazing. God loves it. So, Lord, bless these guys. I pray right now for your power just to come over them. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just walk them through processes in their own life, that they would see it. I even pray as they go home today that you just bring a revelation to things even going on in their life, going, ah, I know why that person's in my life now. Come on, there's people in your life that are pushing. God's brought to you specifically to, because you're called to certain things, and he wants to work that out so that you have the answer when the day you really need it. Lord, let your presence just saturate on these guys. In Jesus' name, amen.